Hello, and welcome to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, which is located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. Our speaker today is Jim Thomas, who is a member of our congregation. Please join us as Jim continues his study in the book of James. Thank you, Bob. Good evening, everyone. It seems I have to have the bi-monthly excuse. This has been a little tough to get through. And again, it's my own procrastination. I never put off till tomorrow what you can put off till the next day. I sat down today, last night and this morning, or this afternoon, pulling everything together. I spent the time in reading and listening and contemplating and all that kind of stuff. But it's just the pulling it together, which is time-consuming and frustrating at times. And my computer didn't cooperate with me this afternoon. And then I got a call from a lady who we meet with once in a while. And she... had some questions about something I said, and she goes to a Baptist church, which is probably the number one problem right there, and it's not a sovereign grace type church, your typical fundamental dispensational, and so we got into a discussion when we were meeting last time. I made the statement that Jesus died on the cross, God did not die. Okay, the humanity of Jesus Christ died, and the deity did not. And if you can't have a God that dies, it can't happen. And she had never heard that before. It kind of struck her as odd, and she called today and just wanted to know what I had meant by that. And we got into a discussion of some of the particulars of doctrine. And once you mention doctrine or theology, people just go glassy-eyed right away. They're those words that people shy away from. I want Jesus. I don't want doctrine. Well, I'm sorry, you don't have Jesus. Doctrine, of course, we know just means teaching. And this is what I was explaining to her. And I refrain from using the word doctrine mostly and use the word teaching. But it's kind of interesting, and I'm not really all that good at this. I am not a trained theologian by any stretch of the imagination. I just happen to have an interest in it and an insatiable quest for knowledge in a lot of those areas. I've always been one that was concerned about the truth. Not always concerned enough to tell it, but I was always concerned enough or concerned about it. And as time goes on, I've gotten more and more and more concerned about the truth since we don't hear that much of it anymore. My response is that, truth doesn't mean anything today. It's perception, what you perceive. Most people know that they're being lied to, and that's okay. In the political realm, there's not too many people. There are some. There are some very gullible people that think, that our politicians are telling them the truth. But if you're concerned about the truth, you have to try to learn. And I'm trying to learn this. I'm always real good at it. But you have to learn to make fine distinctions in teaching, doctrine, theology, and some of the fine distinctions, such as the humanity of Christ died on the cross, really died. The deity of Christ did not. These are fine distinctions. And if you ignore the fine distinctions later on down the road, you can be into heresy. You try to stay in two camps. It's kind of like, I remember in one of the Indiana Jones movies, they were on a coal car going through the caves in a mountain somewhere. And they were running along the track, and he was straddling the two cars, and the track started to veer away. Well, now he's in trouble. He's in real trouble. But there comes a time, if you don't pay attention to fine distinctions in God's word, the track will start to veer off. Then there comes a time you pretty much have to make a decision. That doesn't mean everybody does. But you cannot long stay in two different camps on most issues. So, and that's what I was trying to explain to her. And I always liken it, and I've told you before, and it probably, I don't know if it bears repeating or not, but you don't have a choice. I used to like to do some poor man's bench rest shooting with rifles, usually smaller caliber. And the thing was, just set a target at 100 yards and try to get all the bullets to group in as small of a group as you can. If you're very steady, you don't move, the wind isn't too bad, you can get them pretty close. I've had a couple groups that I sat there, and that was good. That was really good. But all you have to do is shake just a little bit. If the muzzle of that gun moves a 64th of an inch, you might not be on the paper at 100 yards. And that's the same way it is making fine distinctions in doctrine. If you're off a little bit here, later on down the road, you can be way off. And this is what I was trying to explain to her. And, of course, I wanted to call this the gospel / repentance. The / repentance got dropped off because I didn't get that pulled together. I'm not even sure I have all this pulled together. I know whom I have believed. 7:12. beautiful words to that song. If we go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, maybe 13 too. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. What a powerful couple of verses. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded, I'm convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. What is that that I've committed unto him? I've committed unto him my soul. This is pretty important stuff. This isn't a bank account. This isn't your 401k. And these are all important things. But the importance dies when you die. But I have committed my soul unto him. I know he's able to keep it. No bank vault can keep your soul. People can get through bank vaults. Something can destroy them. They can get flooded. Any number of things. But heaven will never, ever, ever be ransacked. Heaven will never, ever be invaded. No thief, no robber will go in there and steal your soul. And one of the things we need to do is hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ. And this is another thing I had with that discussion I talked to her a little bit about was that, you know, she said, well, why have I never heard this? And I said, well, it's because most churches don't teach it. And there's a point, and I don't want to label a denomination with this, but Christianity today seems to be very content with growth to a certain point. And they stop. If somebody comes in and tries to raise the bar a little bit, you've got all you know what to pay for because they don't want to hear it. We're happy. We're standing on the Word of God. Well, yeah, quit standing on it. Pick it up and read it. Preach from it. Don't stand on it. There's a point where I've raised the bar to a point I can't get over it, but I keep trying and fumbling and falling on my face, but it's something to strive for. These things are important, but to hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast the form of sound words. You have to be somewhere where sound words are preached. Sound words. I'm going to get a little bit into the gospel. And this is an area where there's a lot of bad teaching today. And there's a lot that we as Christians forget. One of those things is repentance. How often do we really talk about repentance to people if we're witnessing to them? You can't be saved without repentance. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of works. But that, I don't want to qualify it too much. I can say, and you know, this is pretty much what I believe, that salvation precedes faith and repentance. But the scriptures are full of commands to repent. And that without repentance, there is no salvation. And those scriptures can die the death of all the qualifications at times. Sometimes we have to just open up the word, read the verses, and talk about them. Apply them to ourselves. And not qualify them to the point where they have no effect anymore. We need the truth. We need to understand certain things. But sometimes we just need to take the full force of the blast of the Word of God right in our face. And that's what I wanted to do today. We're not going to get there. Maybe next time. I wanted to get back to James next time. But I think repentance is an important thing. It's sorely lacking today. It is a misunderstood doctrine. And again, even with the gospel today, I'm not going to do it justice. It's just not enough time. But again, we're going back to some of the words, some of the doctrine, some of the scriptural language that we repeat many times and don't comprehend it. Don't think about it. These are marvelous words. And I've said this when I started in on this little diversion here. You're not going to hear them in the music that's produced today. I'm sorry. There may be people writing good hymns today that put them in there. But what you're going to hear on WGRC and a lot of these other stations will not, rarely will you hear the word gospel mentioned. Repentance won't be mentioned. Hell will not be mentioned. Sin will not be mentioned. They fall short. A lot of people say, well, you know, I was, you know, get my friends to listen to this and hear the gospel. Well, you know, maybe there's something to that. But I don't know that they're going to hear the gospel. They're not going to hear the gospel in the music. Anyway, this is totally non-scripted here. I'm just kind of wandering off on my own, as you can probably tell. Let's cut it out, and 7:09 will be the next one. I will sing.
Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story.
first part of the second verse where it says, I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. I didn't find Jesus. I wasn't looking for him. He found me. And everyone who has been found was found that way. In a lot of respects, he never lost track of you. Not that you were somewhere and he was, oh, where did that person go? I like the illustration of back in time before there was time, if there was such a thing, the mighty archer put the arrow of salvation in his brass bow and pulled it back and let it go. At the appointed time, that arrow struck its target. Nothing was going to stop it. Nothing. He didn't stand out there with a shotgun, fire it up in the air and say, well, I hope this hits somebody. Psalm 13, a psalm of David. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time that we have together to share from your word. Lord, I am constantly amazed as I get down and do the studying here, Lord, that you draw close. Sometimes you draw ever so close. It's sweet, Father. It really is. Many times I'm taken up short, which I need to be. Many times I'm convicted deeply, which I need to be. But Lord, this is your word. It is powerful unto salvation. It can divide the soul from the marrow. Lord, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And as we tend to spend more time in your word, as we tend to mature a little bit in your word, we get to see where some of these things are so true that we can feel them. They become almost an emotional thing to us, Lord, that we believe them so much. Thank you. I would ask that you would be with these stammering lips this evening, and that you would be with the ears of those who will hear, and Lord, that your word would be proclaimed. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 218. Sing this one like we really mean it.
kind of interesting as I
actually do mature a little bit in the Lord. And I sing the song, or the words to the song, and I think back of the scripture that says that we will be given crowns, and we will place these crowns at his feet. I was kind of wondered in the past, in the fairly distant past, why we would do that. I know why we'd do that, because we don't deserve them. He is going to gift us with crowns that we won't, that we don't deserve. He deserves them. He saved us. He died on the tree. He rose again the third day. He rose himself again the third day. He lives to make intercession for us continually. He loves us with a love that is unbounded. No wonder we're going to give the crowns back to him. We're going to realize that we do not deserve them. He deserves them. Isn't that something? He does all that for us and then rewards us for it? Where does that happen? What a wonderful God. What a wonderful God. All right, where are we now? Doxology? And then we'll get into the Word. Thank you, Bob. The gospel is a word that is used very often. Even in the secular world, they'll say, well, that's the gospel. It's kind of amazing how some of these words that we use in Christianity have actually found their way into secular jargon. Now, they don't use them the way they're supposed to, but there is something where the gospel. Now, that's true. You say, that's the gospel? I mean, that's true. That's the way it really is. Right on, brother. You know, right on. That's the gospel. And we sometimes, there's those in the secular world who can understand that, when many people claim to be Christians don't understand it, don't care about it. The gospel is so maligned today. It's really pitiful. It's sad. Let me get into a definition of it first, and some of the places it's used and how it's used, and then we'll get in a little bit into some of the perversions of it. Okay. To define the gospel, you'd have to say it's good news. Tidings of deliverance. The proclamation of the forgiveness of sin and sonship with God restored through Jesus Christ. It means remission of sins and reconciliation with God. There's so many parts of the gospel. I'll go into that a little bit in a few minutes. But to proclaim the forgiveness of sin and sonship with God restored through Christ. They're easy words to read. They're difficult words to really grasp the meaning of. We can never plumb the depths of the riches of the meaning of the gospel. Talked a few weeks back a little bit about sin. All of these issues that I'm hitting are things that could go for sermon after sermon after sermon. Sin is not adequately preached in a sermon. But again, my purpose here is just get some some clear thought on at least what we're saying when we say some of these words, not to go into real depth right at this moment. But we have to understand sin a little bit to understand the glory of the gospel, our deliverance from sin, our remission of sins, and reconciliation with God. How can we, well, we can't be reconciled with God while we are sinners, while we are not believers, while we are not born again in the biblical sense. There is no reconciliation with God now. There is no reconciliation with God without repentance. I'll get into that next time a little further. Mark chapter 1 shows us that the gospel is the record of the life of Christ. The beginning of the gospel of Christ, the Son of God. Acts 20:24, embracing all of Christ's teaching. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel is not only the message of salvation, but is the instrument through which the Holy Spirit works. It's not just a message, but it's an instrument. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It is the power of God unto salvation. It's important that we have a proper understanding of what the gospel is. And a little sidetrack here, which is really, I believe, important, where Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So many of us are. We go back into Psalm 40, verses 9 and 10. You can go there if you want. I'm going to read it from the scripture. David says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. There's that word truth. Love that. David was not ashamed of the gospel. It was there in seed form in the Old Testament. And again, I worked a lot of this out, much more than I'm going to have time to present. In Mark chapter 8, verse 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. One more in 2 Timothy 1:7-10, actually. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm not going to comment on the sound mind part. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And that is the gospel. Again, the gospel is found in seed form in the Old Testament. If you go to Genesis, well, you don't have to go there, Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel, meaning the seed will. Genesis 12:3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The gospel is even in the first book of the Bible. Again, it's in seed form. A little tough to dig out, but it's there. In the New Testament, the gospel is manifest in full force. It's manifest as the gospel of God. In Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The gospel of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:2. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, where we behold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. I kind of butchered that up because of my spelling here, but the gospel of God. That's the point I'm trying to make, is the gospel of God is also the gospel of Christ. In Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This is also referred to as the gospel of the grace of God in Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And Scripture is also called the gospel of your salvation, and is also called the glorious gospel, the good news. One of the best definitions out there, and it's just short and succinct, was made by Philip Melanchthon, who was a contemporary and a very, very good friend of John Calvin. He said, the gospel is the gratuitous promise of the remission of sins for Christ's sake. The gospel is the gratuitous promise of the remission of sins for Christ's sake. Jim Thomas says, the good news that Jesus Christ, through his birth, life, death, and resurrection, has made it certain that those who genuinely repent will attain to eternal life. Now, as I mentioned, the gospel It's just being beat to death today. There's so much erroneous gospel. If you go into some of the books that you'll find at christianbook.com, and I don't know why they call it Christian book, because a lot of it isn't. A lot of it is not. I'm sorry. I've seen the TNIV Bible on sale there. That is not a Christian Bible. I'm sorry. God is not gender neutral. God is not effeminate. God is a rock. He is the rock of our salvation. Anyway, as you go through, you see things like what is it? Again, this is something I didn't get into because I thought I was going to do repentance too, but that's not going to work. So I'm trying to remember some of my notes that are sitting back on a computer that's been sticking its tongue out at me. What's the book I was looking for tonight, hon? Rick Warren. That where he gives what's called the gospel in there falls short of the gospel. Because one thing, there's no mention of sin. I mean, there's no mention of repentance. And he goes through and he takes many different translations. I forget whether it was like 17 or so. I don't remember the exact figure. But many different translations, knits them together into something that's going to say what he wants it to say. The gospel of God is not that if you pray the prayer of Jabez, God has to answer your prayer. That is not the gospel of God. I'm sorry. The gospel of God is not the four spiritual laws where you can be saved, but the Holy Spirit's sitting over there somewhere. He's not part of your life. You're saved, you're a true Christian, but he's not a part of it. Christ is not Lord. And then there's the next step where you're on the throne and the Holy Spirit's on the throne, and you know there's the two of you. And then there's the third step where self is off the throne and the Holy Spirit is on the throne. That is the only part of that tract that is the gospel. The rest of it is a bunch of nonsense. Because you cannot take Jesus Christ as a Savior without taking him as Lord. Because you're building an idol. This is a designer Christ that you're dealing with here now. You're designing a Christ to your own suiting. You're designing a Christ that's going to save you and let you just go and just throw rose petals in the air and just go do whatever you want. Go to the bar, get drunk, carouse, do whatever, and you can say, yes, I'm born again. I'm a born again Christian. Like there is a Christian that's not born again. Right? These people are, and many of them have, I just can't imagine the shock when the gaping jaws of hell open up and swallow them. And they think they're going to heaven, and they're not, because of an erroneous gospel. It's difficult. A lot of that is taught in the churches today. Oh, God is love. God is love. There's also much more. And you cannot preach the gospel and separate the attributes of God and make a buffet out of God. You just can't do it. Where you say, I'll take a little bit of this, I'll take a little bit of love. Yeah, I'm going to get a big plate full of love. Repentance. No. I don't like that. Wrath. No. I don't want to have no wrath. That is not God. You cannot accept God truly in those circumstances. And he won't accept you. That's the important part. Isn't it nice that I accepted God? Well, I'm sure he's real happy that Jim Thomas accepted him. That's just made his day. He's probably said to all the angels, yeah, Jim Thomas accepted me. Isn't that great? Man, wow. I don't think so. And we need to be aware of this. This is one of the things on the phone today that I got into a little bit. And this is where we have to make fine distinctions. And some of the fine distinctions are you cannot take Jesus as the Jesus you want. The term was used, well, my God, well, it doesn't matter. I don't have a my God. I mean, he is my God, but I don't have one of my own making. That's called idolatry. Pure and simple. You're not worshiping the true God if you're believing a false gospel. Paul said, though I or an angel of God preach to you any other gospel, let him be anathema. Let him be damned. That's strong language, folks. And what is it when a gospel is preached that says that you can accept Christ as Savior and not Lord? That is not the gospel. That is a false gospel. Though I or an angel of God preach another gospel, you let him be accursed, anathema, damned. There's so many people on Christian television. I don't watch it. I hear a little bit about it from some of the people in work. And my barber, she listens to a lot of it. Oh, my. They are damning themselves by not preaching, not believing a proper gospel. They're like a Pied Piper that is taking all of the people that follow them off into hell. Like a bunch of lemmings. I don't know if you know what lemmings are. They just follow one another. One of them walks out over a cliff, they all follow. And that's exactly what's going on today. We need to pray for the gospel of the grace of God to be preached in churches with all the bark on them, on it. We don't shave anything off. I mean, you don't try to make it obnoxious. To the unbeliever, it's going to be obnoxious. But it is the power of God unto salvation. That believer that it's obnoxious to, the Holy Spirit may be working in his heart. And all of a sudden, it won't be obnoxious to him. It'll be the savior of life. Savor of life, I should say. The savor of life.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.